Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Time now for Mego and Shime on WEEI.
It's hard. It's been so long since I've been kind of as dominant as I want to be, or kind of been the guy that I want to be. And, you know, I've had it for two or three starts at a time kind of throughout the past year and a half, and especially in the playoffs. But, you know, you don't make many playoff rosters with a 7 or 8 or 9 ERA. So I'm not going to keep hanging my hat on the fact that I've kind of showed up in October. You know, I want to show up in April and May and June and July and August and kind of go about it that way.
Welcome in. It's Mego and Shime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. That was Walker Buehler following the opening day home opener win for the Boston Red Sox over the St. Louis Cardinals 13-9. Buehler did get hit a little bit there, but it didn't come until the fifth inning was really the big inning there, or the fourth inning when he gave up the 3-run dinger, then gave up the next home run in the fifth. Prior to that, he had been all right. He had pitched okay. Luckily for him, though, the Red Sox just came out bats a swing, and they are hot with the stick right now after a slow start. Mego, how are you? It's been 2 weeks now, or 3 weeks now, since we've done a show.
I know. I went to Florida, and then you went to Florida, yeah. And now here we are. Back, not in Florida.
No.
How did you enjoy your Floridian adventure?
It was fabulous. It was 75 degrees or above every single day I was there. I was helping out my mom with some stuff, and then got to go down the beach early in the morning when there's not many people there, and just kind of drink my coffee, read my book. It was wonderful.
Do you swim?
I like to swim. I don't normally swim in the ocean all that often. Just every once in a while when I want to. But
you're not a big like ocean. You're not into the waves. You're not a...
Not huge. Like, I love the beach. I love being like on the water. If somebody has a boat, I'm so in. But for the most part, I'm not like, I don't need to be like in the water constantly now.
I need beach toys. Like,
you need like the pool noodles.
I need everything.
Gotcha.
So I need a book. I probably need some snacks for sure.
Definitely.
And then I need, like, have you ever used one of those? It's a ball that you can skip on the water, kind of like skipping a stone.
No.
It skips on the water. It's called a wababo.
A wababo, okay.
Oh, my God. So fun. Like, it will change your beach-going experience. There are two premium beach toys, because I'm just ready for summer. I know it's 40 degrees outside right now. It sucks. But yesterday got me so excited for, oh my God, it's actually going to be nice again.
Yes.
Let's all go to the beach.
So
let's
nice
have our
yesterday.
New England premium season of summer. The wababo skips on the water surface. So you can like throw it. You can be like 40 yards apart and just skipping it on water. It's super fun. And then the other one, of course, is the Nerf football.
Yeah, those are the best.
The Nerf football, the wababo, like, I can be at the beach for 5 hours.
Fair. I'm a big just kind of, like, sit at the beach guy and enjoy the breeze and the ambient
Can't
sounds.
Can't do it.
Read a
Can't
book.
Can't do it. Nope.
I'm
Can't
a big book
it.
At the beach guy.
I'm like, let's go for a walk. Mm. Let's...
You need to be, like, moving.
I've got activities at the beach.
Yeah.
My dream is, like...
Restless.
To be at the beach with 8 people or 10 people, and everyone's like, how about we start up a volleyball game?
Oh.
I'm like, let's go.
I love
beach
volleyball.
That's what I'm talking about. I like activities.
I like cornhole.
Only one I don't like, can jam.
Oh, see, I'm
can
a big
jam
can
never
jam guy.
Works right.
I'm a can jam hardo.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Big time.
Is he, Can Jam never got to where Cornhole did.
No, never.
Because it's not as premium a game.
No, it should be, though. Like, you should, and especially in adults, where you're supposed to play with a beer in one hand and only use the other hand. Like, that's the whole point.
Is this a rule that you enforce as a Can Jam hardo?
Yeah. Okay. If we're playing, like, at a house, somebody's house or something, yeah. It's one hand holds a beer or your form of beverage, and then other hand is playable. You can only use one hand.
But I'm telling you, the Wababo, look it up.
Okay, I'll take a look.
I might be pronouncing it wrong. It will change
the Wababo sounds fun. So
beach going experience. It's awesome.
All right, fair enough. But with the warm weather come the Boston Red Sox and baseball. Well, hopefully the weather gets warmer around here. It's not so warm today. Hopefully the Red Sox play today. They're supposed to have 4:05, 4:15 start, Zach.
4:10.
I'm all around it.
Right
4:10,
there.
4:10 start with the St. Louis Cardinals today after getting the home opener win yesterday. But I got to tell you, Mego, yesterday was kind of exciting. Like, I talked to Jones and Keefe, who were down at the Cask and Flagon prior to opening day. And when I got to talk to them before their show, they even said, like, it was unusually buzzy down at Fenway. Like yesterday, like there was kind of an energy to the area that hadn't been there in quite some time. And then you saw it when the guys came out and they immediately start mashing, you know, and I started to get excited. I started to have a lot of hope and get really excited about this team. But the one issue seems to be the starting pitching. Outside of Garrett Crochet, they have struggled. Tanner Houck has already given up as many home runs on the sinker this year in two starts as he did all of last year. And then Walker Buehler comes out, gives up another 5 earned after giving up 4 earned in his first start. Kind of where are you at with this starting rotation?
So I'm a little concerned because yesterday was so fun the way that the game started.
Yeah.
5-0, first inning.
Do you like the new home run celebration?
I do.
Yeah,
I like it because I find it quite divisive.
Ooh.
Some people see the Wally helmet and they're like, awesome, 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 awesome. Finally a celebration that's fun. And not just like, muscle hands? What was it called? The Hulk hands?
Oh, yeah, the Hulk hands. Yeah,
or,
smash. Hulk smash.
Yeah, or like the weights. Like that stuff was stupid.
Or getting the cart.
Yeah, I wasn't into the laundry cart either. I love the Wally helmet. And there's a whole other section of people, predominantly non-Red Sox fans, who are like, it's so creepy. Like, it is horrifying. This is a horrifying performance. And
that's
kind of
what makes
that.
It awesome.
Yeah, I love that for the Red Sox, too. So I'm all in on the Wally head. Part of me wants to believe, especially after seeing the Jaron Duran video where he gets introduced to the Wally head. And he can see, he says, oh, you guys did really good job with this. Like, there's just one Wally head.
Yep.
That thing is going to stink
by
the time it gets to July.
But that's kind of awesome.
It's going to be gnarly. It's going to have living organisms within it.
Yeah.
It's going to be a Wally head nightmare.
You don't think somebody cleans that?
How do you clean it?
I don't know. You get in there with a nice, like a sponge and a soap, and you clean it, and you let it dry overnight.
Yeah.
No?
You think that somebody on the staff is cleaning the Wally head?
I wouldn't be shocked. Yeah. I mean, they clean everything else, don't they?
A Wally head cleaning? I don't think so.
Really?
I think I'm looking forward to the future with the Wally head. all that to say, Walker Buehler, I was looking over some of his previous seasons, and it seems like this is who he was last year when he started. His first two games were pretty awful. Right now, he's sitting at an 8.68 ERA.
Not great.
Which is not great. Last year, going from April to July, he basically had a 6 ERA. Again, for somebody who you want as early in the rotation as hopefully he will be, even when Bayo and Giolito come back, I'm hopeful that later in the season he'll turn into who he was just talking about being, and somebody whose ERA is at least closer down around 3-something,
mm-hmm.
like can live with 4-something. But where he's looking right now, it's meatballs over the center of the plate. It's just
it's tough.
It's
you can't
not
even
right.
get through the order twice.
Exactly.
Like, that's
and
what
that's,
you need.
That's what we would bang up Tanner Houck about last season all the time, especially the second half of the year. He after he gets through a second order, he's done. There's no going back. Like, you've got to move on to the bullpen after that. And I'm worried that you're right, that it's another one of those guys in your rotation.
I think Houck will come around. I think this is just like a slow start for him type deal. Like, I think he's just missing on some of his pitches. Whereas with Buehler, I'm unsure of exactly where he's going to land over the course of the season. It's maybe just the lack of familiarity with him compared to what Houck did last year. But I also look at it as there are reinforcements hopefully to come, down the way here with Baby Pedro making his way back and Brian Baio.
Are we still doing that?
I heard Ken do it this morning, so I just figured I'd try and continue it. Nothing like Pedro, not even close. But Brian Baio hopefully coming back eventually, and then Lucas Giolito making his way back and finally making starts for the Red Sox. So
yeah, again, like, we don't know. Giolito is
massive unknowns,
a pretty wild card for you. So
he could be awesome or he could be terrible. It could be anywhere in between there. But at least there is the prospect of having reinforcements come. So even if Buehler struggles here in the first half of the season, like, those guys will eventually show up, push him down the rotation a little bit. And if Garrett Crochet comes out and does what he did the other day and just goes, just 8 strong, just absolutely dominant performance a couple times here and there, you are going to be in great shape, especially with the way this team can hit.
I'm certainly feeling better about the rotation than I have in recent seasons. Overall, I heard Chris Curtis talking about this when I was driving in. I think he's right. There's different expectations and excitement around this team compared to previous years. 100%. Where I don't think I've felt this optimistic about a roster since before COVID.
It feels like the Red Sox again.
Yeah. It feels like they actually are going out, spending on some real contracts, brought in some real free agents, and made the extensions that they needed to this week. Well, really with Crochet, but even getting that deal done with Christian Campbell and not going into arbitration.
And he's been raking too. What a start for him. Is after not having the best spring, there being some question marks, they're like, nope, he's our starting second baseman. And then he comes out and he's been lighting it up since.
And I think that the other upgrades that you got to see little glimpses of yesterday, we all knew that the offense was going to be powerful when they're in a spot where they look like themselves, which is Fenway Park, and it's 65 degrees. And homers are homers, they're out of the park, they're hitting the monster. It's not the typical day like we have today, which is so often what Fenway opening day is. It's like a proper baseball conditioned day. But you also got to see the upgrades on defense, one of them being Trevor Story, which we've been waiting on for 2+ seasons at this point because of the injuries that he's dealt with. You kind of forget, that's the guy that you brought in to push Xander Bogaerts out and what you've been missing. And then Alex Bregman, after all the drama in spring training between Bregman and Devers and who's going to play third, that you see the upgrades, the meaningful upgrades that you made on defense. Yes, you had the 3 errors late in the game and there's some growing pains there with Christian Campbell, and some of that will be worked out. But I do think that outside of some of the questions with pitching that they're still working through, it's such an upgraded team overall.
I couldn't agree more. It feels like a legitimate Red Sox roster. You know that this team isn't going to be just battling to stay out of the bottom of the division. Like, they're going to be able to compete. They're going to be able to go into Baltimore and win baseball games. They're going to be able to do it against everybody across the league. And it gives you hope. It's something we have lacked as Red Sox fans now, I feel like, for a while. It's just a sense of hope that this team could have a lot of success and maybe even postseason success because of the fact that you have a legitimate ace in Garrett Crochet. He's now locked up under contract. You can kind of let him run. Like, you can let him free. And then you have your young players like Christian Campbell. And then, not to mention, Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony are raking in AAA over in Worcester. And it's like, okay, now we got, like, guys to come up still. They're pushing to make the roster. They want to be here. Marcelo Meyer told Jones and Keefe as much. He wanted to be on the opening day roster. Like, those guys are fighting. Everybody on this team, Willy Abreu, has been awesome to start the season. So you're finally getting to see what Trevor Story should have been in the first place, but due to injury, just couldn't. I mean, yesterday had a 3-run dinger, the defense, all of it. I just feel like this is the most complete Red Sox team we've had in quite some time. Like, it just feels, there's like a sense of relief for a second. Like, you can breathe. You don't have to worry about that tenseness of just like we've had with the Patriots the last couple of years where it's like, this team's going to suck. And it's just, you go into every game and instead of just enjoying football, you kind of like, please just don't be terrible today. Like, at least compete. With this Red Sox team, you don't have that feeling anymore. Every day they are going to be able to compete with anybody.
And I'm very curious where the attention goes with the Red Sox, because we always have all eyes on them when it's opening day, and then it's opening day at Fenway. And then, you got Marathon Monday, and that's always a fun, I don't want to say like exhibition because obviously it counts, but all eyes on Fenway again with the Patriots Day game. And then after that, it's like we have been in this mode for the last couple seasons where even when they're as they're playing well, we look at it and we go, well, we'll see what happens when the trade deadline comes around because ownership never does what we want them to, never does as much or never executes the moves that we want them to. And then they get grumpy and they fall apart in the second half. And maybe they get a wild card or they miss the postseason completely is more so what we've been used to for the last couple of seasons. So I wonder if there will be sustained attention because I do think that there is a big part of the city, a big part of New England sports fandom that is craving a reason to pay attention to them. And I think what you cited about the young guys coming through the pipeline is another thing that brings eyes back to the Red Sox where, yeah, okay, you have the free agents that that you signed that everybody's eager to see what's Crochet going to look like, even Trevor Story coming back and finally being a big part of this team. But then once you get the young guys debuting from Worcester and Bayo's coming off the IL, I think there will be, as long as they're continuing some success, like real attention on this team.
617-779-7937. It's Shime and Mego here on Boston Sports Original. Talking Red Sox after their opening day win home opener win against the St. Louis Cardinals yesterday.
The toy is Waboba. That's Waboba. I was calling it Wababo, I think. Yeah. Shout out to the text line who confirms that Waboba is the best beach toy. Just go out and get yourself one. I think they're like $10.
There you go. All right. Mego's beach advice of the day. Go get the Waboba. Mego, you mentioned to the trade deadline. Maybe there is a renewed interest from ownership. Offseason, you spent money. Two recent extensions as well. We'll get into all of that coming up here on Mego and Shime on Boston Sports Original. But right now, Zach is going to get you caught up with what's trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox extended their winning streak to 3 with a 13-9 win over the St. Louis Cardinals in yesterday's Fenway opener. Sox were propelled by back-to-back home runs from Trevor Story and Willier Abreu as part of a 5-run first inning. Alex Bregman went 2-for-4 in his Fenway debut, and here's what he had to say about the Fenway crowd.
Obviously, the energy was in the ballpark. It was a lot of fun to be out there playing, and especially after a long road trip, not being here for a while, and then coming back and feeling that energy, it brought all of us into the game really nicely, and looking forward to continuing it.
Weather pending, game 2 of that series goes down later today with Richard Fitz taking the mound opposite Andre Pallante for St. Louis. You can hear coverage of that one right here on WEEI and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Joe Weil getting you started on the Mass Mutual pregame show. That's at 3:10. Then Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks will have the call of the game first pitch at 4:10. Celtics beat the Phoenix Suns 123-103, the final from the Garden last night. Jaylen Brown led the way with 31 points for the Seas. They'll host the Washington Wizards tomorrow night, tip-off at the Garden at 6. Bruins back in action tonight looking to snap a 10-game losing streak. They host the Carolina Hurricanes. With a loss tonight, the Bees would tie the 19-24-25 Bruins for the longest losing streak in franchise history. Puck drop at the Garden set for 7. In other NHL news, Washington Capitals winger Alex Ovechkin tied Wayne Gretzky's all-time goals record. He had his 893rd and 894th career goals last night. Ovechkin with a chance to break Gretzky's record tomorrow night in Long Island against the Islanders. Finally, for just the second time ever, the Final Four consists of all number one seeds. Those games get underway tonight in the Alamo Dome. First, Florida takes on top overall seed Auburn at 6:09. Then Duke will face Houston at 8:49. Don't forget, you can hear Westwood One's coverage of those games after Red Sox coverage right here on WEEI. The winners, of course, will face off on Monday night for the national championship. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Mego and Shime coming up after this.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Now, more of Mego and Shime on WEEI.
Mego and Shime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Talking Red Sox. What's up?
Oh, my God.
Uh-oh.
Okay. So, somebody on the text line said, what Wibobo toy are you talking about? And I'm thinking to myself, I already explained it. It's a ball that skips on water that you bring to the beach.
If you missed it in the first segment, Mego is giving you the best beach toy advice you can find.
I just went to Woboba.com. If I don't get a sponsorship out of this, I'm going to be pissed. Woboba water lacrosse toys.
Oh yeah, you were a lacrosse player too, weren't you?
This is going to be the greatest summer of my life. Thank you, text line. I was just talking about the Woboba moon ball, the Woboba ball or water ball. But yeah, they have a Woboba lacrosse kit. I'm buying this like now. I'm so excited for this.
Might have to get myself some boba after the show now.
Yeah, it's boba season. Boba season is coming. It's going to be a boba summer 2025. Let's go. The Red Sox are hopefully going to have a winning record halfway through the season. It'll be like 10 games over 500, and we'll all be hitting the beach with our wabobas.
All right, there you go. Mego said it. Mark it down. Waboba season on the way. 617-779-7937. As you heard, we were talking beach toys, but we're also talking Red Sox there in the first segment. Dan in Rhode Island wants to weigh in on the Sox. What's up, Dan?
Hey, how you doing? Very quickly on the Red Sox before the Patriots. So, like, the Red Sox are doing it the right way. They have, you know, building blocks all over the red, controllable building blocks up and down the roster, which is good, and that's great to look forward. As opposed to the Patriots, where I endorse everything they've done over the offseason, coaching players, it's all fine. But it's a sugar high right now, like 3 or 4 years ago. They have to kill it the next three drafts, or they're going to be back in the same spot that they were with a top 10 pick. Drake May or not, perfect example of how much things can change is if they take Ladd McConkey as opposed to Jalen Polk, Steph Diggs is perfectly cast, just like Cooper Kupp is, and Devontae Adams is. That one pick makes such a difference. You know what I mean? And now they have to try to find someone again this year. They just can't afford the next couple years to screw up these picks. It's just not going to work with drafting a free agency and having $200 million in cap in 3 or 4 years from now. That's all.
All right, Dan. Thanks for the call. Yeah, we're going to get to more of the Patriots coming up, but your reaction to Dan.
So, first of all, sounds like another Dan. That sounded like Dan Shaughnessy at the very beginning.
Did it?
It sounded like Shaughnessy. There was, you would know better than I. A Shaughnessy kind of muttering at the beginning. So, interesting. Vibe. Interesting vibe that Dan brought to the phone call. But I'd say, I think maybe, I don't want to go too far in that direction with the Red Sox of, oh, they should be the model of how everybody rebuilds now. Yeah. Because we have been sitting here for 5 years waiting for this kind of expectation, this kind of spending. And I don't want to take away from the Red Sox. It's just if I had to wait another 5 years or let's say another 3 years for the Patriots to get to any kind of semblance of the expectations that a lot of us have for the Red Sox, I'm not going to be that much of a happy camper covering the Patriots.
It's also so much harder in football, because in baseball you have so many players in the minor league system and some guys that are late draft picks or guys you just like sign and add, international players, whatever, sometimes just pop and kind of make their way up and eventually become starters on your major league roster. Whereas in football, like, you have one draft, you kind of sling it, and if you miss on the draft, you are screwing your roster.
Right. I don't think anyone would disagree with Dan that the drafting has been abysmal over the last decade. And that's overall the biggest problem facing the Patriots. And that has faced the Patriots for several years. The only way that they can change that is to begin to draft well. And that's why, as boring as you might think draft talk is, it is the most important thing for the Patriots right now.
People make fun of my mock drafts, man.
We're going to get to it next hour. What's interesting to me really, is who's calling the shots. Ooh. And increasingly, I think that you and I both feel better and better and better about what we hear about who's calling the shots. Because the person, Elliot Wolf, who's been at least involved in calling the shots over the last couple of years, has not been doing so hot. And it sounds like he's on the outs with everybody who's calling the shots now. It's the right direction. We'll get there. Tommy Curran has something so hilarious. Vintage Tom E. I loved it. But we are going to stick on Red Sox for a little while.
David in Florida wants to talk about the Wally head. Go ahead, David.
Hey. Yeah, I mean, about Wally, you know, my first thought when I saw this is going to sound morbid, but it's like, oh, no, they're beheading Wally? I think he should have some say in this.
Oh, okay. Thank you, David.
There is a real creep factor to it.
Wally's still walking around, though, right?
Yeah, I think Wally likes it. It's more of like it's an honor to Wally. Yeah,
exactly.
Have you ever seen Silence of the Lambs?
I have.
Okay. There is like a kind of Hannibal Lecter side to the Wally head. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. The elevator scene?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen Silence of the
Lambs. I mean, it's a movie that came out
in
like 1992.
I know, but it's one of the greatest movies of all time. And what I'm referencing with Hannibal Lecter is a really big twist in the movie. And if you've never seen it, first of all, great plans for you Saturday. You and maybe you take a date and you get to sit down and instead of Netflix and chill, it's Silence of the Lambs and chill. It's really going to set the vibe.
That's only going to hit a very small audience.
I am the audience.
There, you are the audience. I will do a different reference. It feels more like Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. The new horror movie.
Oh my God. I remember seeing like all the memes about that movie coming out.
Or like what's the
Did
one?
Did you actually watch it?
No.
Okay.
Or what's the one where like the murderer wears the Easter bunny head?
Is that a real
Happy
one?
Death Day? Is that it maybe? I don't know. Rich Keefe would know all these things.
Okay.
He's the horror movie buff.
I love horror movies, mm-hmm. but I don't watch the really crappy ones.
Oh, that's fair. Okay. Yeah, I actually prefer a lot of the crappier ones. I also prefer slashers. Slashers are my favorite. Those are just always the best ones. Probably because I love Scream so much. And then
I
love Scream.
Scream is such a perfect movie.
It's the best. The Red Sox are not pulling any kind of murderous intent with the Wally head. Just a nod to their good friend Wally. And it's just, before we hit the break in the last segment, you mentioned the interest that comes with the prospects coming up, and then hopefully at the trade deadline, it's not another situation where we're sitting there like, oh, we need all these reinforcements, we don't get any, and then everybody's like depressed in the second half of the season.
What happens.
It seems like, at least if you follow the trend, that was the case the last couple years, but now this offseason, you spend money, you get a guy like Bregman, you give contract extensions to Garrett Crochet and Christian Campbell. Do you feel like there has been a shift in the mindset of ownership above, you know, Alex Cora and Craig Breslow in their willingness to spend and be aggressive to be competitive?
I might sound like a total moron, but yes, I do kind of buy that ownership is changing the way that they're doing business, that they're opening the wallets a little bit. They kept saying, we got to get the farm system together. We got to reestablish this after Dombrowski leaves. This is the goal of everything. And we sat around and waited for years, and it was so frustrating. But this Crochet extension is the most meaningful deal that they've made since before COVID. It is more meaningful than the Rafael Devers deal, because I still feel like a lot of that had to do with placating the fan base, which was so pissed off
100%.
About losing Mookie and Xander. That's that. And now look, you can say what you feel about that deal now that he is a designated hitter. And Alex Cora says he's never going to play third base again. Don't even look at third base. That's fine. You can, you know, pick apart that deal. But the Crochet deal, because even a week ago, I liked a lot of the offseason moves that they made, but I said they're kind of dating these guys and not going to the altar with them. You're somebody who's planning a wedding right now.
Yes, that's true.
With Bregman, they brought Bregman in, and he's got this relationship with Cora. He's got two outs in his deal. So you're like, okay, like this could be good. He says he wants to be in Fenway. He says this is like where he plays his best ball. Great, but we'll see. Same thing with Crochet. You get into the season, he does the old, I'm not going to negotiate during the season because I don't want it to be a distraction.
Bradfo said yesterday on Jones and Keefe, he's like, I'm glad they did the deal, but I feel like I was lied to.
I'm, I, we just need to stop reporting that guys are even saying that. But then last night, so I was covering Arcan's shift because he was not feeling very well. And so John Lyons and I had Chris Cotillo of Mass Live on. Mm-hmm. And we talked to him about the Garrett Crochet deal and how that got done when they said that they weren't going to negotiate in season. And it sounded like there was a pretty significant gap between the two sides when the season started. And I thought that this was kind of meaningful for how you should look at Red Sox ownership right now.
Yeah, the great Chris Mason of Mass Live, I believe, tweeted the other day saying, you know, I'm not going to negotiate in season, .. unless the offer's really good, which I thought was a good way to put it, obviously. You know, once they hit a number, they were willing to, he was willing to engage. And to me, that's, I think, kind of tells the story. Alex Cora was willing to engage in the middle of the season last year about a deal, and we've seen this time and time again. I mean, I think the onus is somewhat on the reporters here for falling for that and thinking the opening day deadline was an opening day deadline. But, I mean, talking to Crochet 10 days before the end of camp, his comments on play Tessie, like different things that his comments with, hate to give him credit, but Bradford at one point, like this was far off, very far off at a point, 10 days before spring training. They closed the gap enough in the last few days before opening day to get him to push that deadline, and they got it across the finish line. I think at the end of the day, both sides wanted this bad. I think the Red Sox gave him a little more money than I would have thought originally, but I think it's a great outcome for all parties.
So I think the ending of that is really interesting, that he believes the Red Sox gave him more money than he would have thought, because to me it seems like a very team-friendly deal.
Right.
Like,
So how much were they lowballing him before that?
I can't even imagine, because when you look at both of these extensions, the Crochet and the Campbell extension are so Red Sox friendly. I am shocked that both of these got done so quickly.
Right. The Christian Campbell deal is kind of just like boilerplate, your young guy coming up deal.
Yeah. Like, because I think Ronald Acuna got a similar deal. His was like 8 for $100 million or whatever it was. But even still, it feels like it's like, oh, wow, he's kind of passing up on a decent amount of money if he wanted to bet on himself, where guys like Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony and Tristan Casas, we're already seeing it now, are kind of betting on themselves. Like, they're like, yeah, I'm not going to sign an extension now. I'll wait until I can hit legitimate free agency.
So Crochet bet on himself in that he wanted to continue being a starter. And so he is pushing for that with the White Sox. They won't do it. They're not married to him there. And so he goes to the Red Sox. And even then it's like, he wants this extension. It just makes me wonder where the Red Sox started from. Mm. And I am happy hearing that they're the ones who really closed the gap. They're the ones who gave him an offer that was so enticing that he's like, guess what? My dishonor of negotiating during the season
is over.
I meant
the home opener, not the actual opener.
I will be
opener.
Dishonorable about this, and I will negotiate. So I think it's a good sign overall from ownership. Will they repeat it? Will they get something done with Casas, or will they move him? Will they, I don't know, be even more aggressive at the trade deadline if there's areas where they find the team in need? I don't know, but I am feeling significantly different about ownership in a small thing. I wonder how you feel about this, because I did see it reported just on Twitter that John Henry was at the Crochet press conference yesterday.
I saw the picture of him, Sam Kennedy, Craig Breslow, and Garrett Crochet and his wife.
Now, he didn't talk, which is kind of annoying. I think that John Henry should talk more.
It's all right. He'll just post another Instagram picture smoking a cigar.
That's what he has Sam Kennedy for.
Exactly.
But being around, I do feel like maybe some of this is just where they were in a rebuild, and so this is cyclical. But we were at a point probably two seasons ago, where I was like, I don't even know if I buy that it's cyclical. I don't know if when these young guys, this young core is coming up, if they're gonna actually start spending again and moving prospects and paying guys twice like they essentially did with Crochet. So that's really what inspires the most confidence.
Yeah,
for
we
me.
Felt like they were turning into the Oakland Athletics or the Tampa Bay Rays, where they were basically just becoming small market teams. And it's like, all right, you might have a good team here and there just because you hit on the right young players. They all came up at the same time, but you're not actually paying anybody money. And then they instead are incorporating spending money with the rise of their young players. And I think the big thing for me is spending money is great. I love that. I'm very happy about that. But I think the bigger thing is the proactivity of the front office and the ownership in the Garrett Crochet deal and in the Christian Cable deal. They didn't sit around and wait. They didn't like sit there with their, you know, sitting on their hands like, yep, nope, we have our number. Our number's out there. We're just going to let you kind of decide if you want to meet our number or not. Instead, they were like, no, we really love this player. We are going to close this gap. We are going to be aggressive in closing the gap and making sure he's locked up with this team now for multiple years. And knowing that you have your starting second baseman now for the next 8 years and your ace, a legitimate ace in your rotation now for at least the next 4 years, it's like, oh, man, like this team was, they really care. It's not, John Henry isn't just worrying about his portfolio sports teams. He actually cares about the Boston Red Sox, and it feels good to be there.
So text line, of course, as soon as I mentioned him, 978 number says, please dump Tristan. What do you think this Netflix upcoming docuseries?
Did you see the clip that's going around?
Is it Casas?
Yeah, it's Casas and Duran.
Casas is going to be all over that thing, I'm sure.
So Casas' car like broke down, and Duran is like trying to fix the car, and he's like, "Careful with those $100 million hands, brother." He's like, "I would not be in there if I were you." And I'm like, "All right, Casas, relax."
Is Casas the most divisive athlete in? Well, maybe Mac Jones. Mac Jones is pretty divisive.
Way more divisive was Mac Jones.
What are our top, from each team, who is the most
Kyrie
divisive
Irving.
Player? Well, let's, Kyrie really wasn't divisive when he was here until he was very clearly on his way out.
Okay.
Everybody wanted him to stay because he is so talented.
And he said he was going to stay.
Yeah, and he did make that promise.
Mac Jones, very, very divisive. Tristan Casas is the most divisive.
Marcus Smart, a little divisive. Maybe it just felt that way between Jones and myself.
No, I would understand that. I also think like Rafael Devers is becoming a little bit divisive in a different way, not because of his personality or his character, just because of like, was he really worth the money? And like, some people still love him, but other people are like, oh God, what a waste of money. He's fat and out of shape.
I was listening because my annoying ass dog yesterday was, I don't know what got into her. She was so excited. We were trying to do a podcast in the morning. She had things to say about it.
Yeah, she did.
And then I was watching the baseball game.
Unhappy with my takes, I think.
I was watching the baseball game on Nesson, and she's like, let's go out again. And so I took her out and I was listening to the Odyssey app, listening to the Red Sox game while we were walking around. And I was listening to Will Fleming be like, all right, let's hear the reception that Rafi Devers gets here now that he's hitting. And it was like, it was like a very mixed reception. And I was like, ooh,
it's
like
great.
The reception that Michelle Wu got. I was like, there's a lot of people here who really like him and a lot of people here who are kind of annoyed. And so, yeah, I think Rafi has entered that little bit divisive athlete territory. Is there anybody from the Bruins besides maybe Tuca, which is kind of just the existence of a
goalie? I think Pastrnak is very divisive because
really?
I think a lot of the hardo hockey fans hate him because they feel like at times he doesn't play defense and he disappears in the playoffs.
And he has so many giveaways.
Yeah, and stuff like that. Even though he's, you know, one of the very few guys who could go out and score 50 goals in a season in the NHL. And so I think Pastrnak is very divisive.
Swayman. Okay. After the contract
negotiations. That's true. Great point, Zach.
But I do think that a lot of times goalies just naturally are divisive.
Well, because they're just weird.
And you can pin so much on them.
Yeah.
Pretty clearly.
I think, too, that's one of the reasons why quarterbacks can be very divisive as well, is just because they bear so much responsibility for how the team goes. Whereas in baseball, it's different. Like, I feel like 9 times out of 10, it's the starting pitchers that are the most divisive. Like, you know, your David Prices of the world, your John Lackey's.
You accuse them of being head cases.
Yep, absolutely. Whereas
Chris Sales.
With this
always
team,
injured.
With this team, it's more so Casas and Devers, which is weird.
Well, Casas brings it on himself.
Yeah, it's
absolutely.
And that's the thing about him. It's not his play on the field. That has nothing to do with that. It's entirely his personality.
It's
how he speaks, what he says.
Entirely avoidable.
I think Jones categorized him yesterday as a thinker. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
What does that mean?
When you call somebody, oh yeah, like he's a thinker. Like he just, he thinks about it. I would consider Kyrie Irving a thinker.
I wouldn't.
Mr. Flat Earth.
I wouldn't. I think that that's a misuse of that description.
I don't think so. I think it's apropos.
I think it fits for Kyrie, not as much for Casas.
Well, Casas is very much, though, like, he's like, yeah, I want to be one with the earth. You know, I want to go sit in the sun's rays and really soak in the power of the solar.
Yeah, he's got some Aaron Rodgers to him.
Oh, yeah.
He really
Matt Collins.
Does.
He's got the bad version of Matt Collins. Matt Collins is.
I gotta be honest.
Just like his personality is attractive.
Collins is going to be wearing the Wally head at some point. I guarantee it.
Well, he did dress up as Animal last year.
Yeah, I thought he was an Angry Bird.
He might have done an Angry Bird at one point, but I think he was Rick from Rick and Morty. He was Animal from The Muppets. And then
Fred Flintstone
was another one. Good call.
I just think of these as look at me guys. They're peacocking. Did you ever have a friend who did that at a bar?
Oh, yeah.
In the single days?
I probably was the peacock.
You do something to get attention.
Yeah, if we were ever at a bar that had karaoke, I was 100% the peacock.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, I am a huge, talk about being a can jam hardo. I am a karaoke hardo.
I like that. What's your song?
My go-to song in a crowd of strangers, my go-to song is Drops of Jupiter by Train.
Ooh, that's a great one.
Yeah. And then if I really want to get the crowd going, I'll do 1,000 Miles by Vanessa Carlton because I'll play like a mean air piano.
Okay. Yeah. I like that one too.
Yeah. And my buddies and I used to do Backstreet Boys, I Want It That Way. That one's a great song.
We got to karaoke together. Let's get this together.
I would love to. I think the last time I did karaoke was in like a hole-in-the-wall joint in Providence.
Beautiful.
It was packed to the gills. They had like 3 beers available to buy, and it was great. It was a lot of fun. 617-779-7937. It's Mego and Shime here on Boston Sports Original talking all Red Sox as they gear up for their 4-10 game today against the Cardinals. It's still on, as we know. We'll keep you posted if anything changes right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI.
You're listening to Mego and Shime on WEEI.
Back in the atmosphere, drops of Jupiter in her hair.
Oh, God, I love this song. This song rips.
Sing it, Shine.
No, it's okay.
It's your song. You're turning red. You're blushing.
Yeah, I am. Well, so 508 text says, Shime's stories are so made up, always trying to impress people.
With your Backstreet Boys stories. Come on.
It's funny because, like, clearly he hasn't. I don't mean to accuse this texter, but clearly you haven't listened to the station for all that long because there were former iterations of the Midday Show that I was a part of that I sang these songs all the time. Every Tuesday, there's another text a little farther down from my guy Dice down on the Cape. Bring back Karaoke Tuesdays. Every Tuesday on the one of the former Midday shows, I would perform a karaoke song. And so if you really believe that my karaoke stories are made up, clearly you did not listen to that show. Because I did it. I performed at least 40 songs on this station.
They
were good, but they happened.
My karaoke song is Criminal by Fiona Apple.
Okay.
It's kind of a slutty song.
Ooh.
So that's the vibe I go for.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey,
that's the vibe I'm bringing to the function.
That's one way to draw in a crowd.
But one of my friends has a song that is a complete karaoke, I wouldn't say like hack, but I guess it is.
Okay.
Friends in Low Places.
That song stinks.
But it gets every karaoke crowd going. It doesn't matter.
You're right.
You could be like in Provincetown.
Because everybody knows it.
And you could think nobody's going to be into this song. Everybody's into it. That's why I said it's a hack.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's also a hack move.
You're not going for the artistic integrity of the song and what you're trying to communicate through your spirit. You're just getting everybody in the room involved. It's an unselfish pick, to be honest.
So that's also one of the reasons why I love to do Creed, because Creed just gets Creed makes everybody happy. Higher by Creed. Creed rips.
I will say this individual, because we were in Portland last summer and we went to this karaoke spot. And the karaoke spot, when we got there, we were like, we got in, we didn't even look around. We were like, let's put our songs down because it's going to take forever to get on the mics. And my friend put down Limp Bizkit. So then we spent some time at the bar and we were like, this is not a Limp Bizkit crowd. So he had to go up. It was like a very sophisticated, kind of like hip, cool crowd. So he had to like go up to the person running karaoke and beg this young woman, please let me change my song. If I do Limp Bizkit here, I'm going to get booed like out of this bar.
It's crazy because like for people who don't believe me, I went to my friends and I in our young 20s would go to the same bar every Friday. And the same guy would be there to like host the karaoke, and I wouldn't need to go down and put my name down.
He just knew you. You were such a regular.
I would go up and say hi to him. He would just put me in every once in a while.
Are you gonna have karaoke at your wedding after party? I think you have to.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. Or maybe your bachelor party.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Karaoke bachelor party. There you go.
You're right. I never even. So, and that's the funny thing. I think my fiance has seen me do karaoke maybe twice ever.
Are you worried that it's going to be a deal breaker? It's going to be an ick for her?
No, not at all. Because, like, she's seen it twice, so...
She already knows a little... She got a taste.
Yeah.
She knows what she's operating
with. She could have run for the hills if she wanted to. But I am... Like, that's just kind of who I... Like, I just... God, I love it. It gets the blood flowing.
You're
you know?
Just a performer.
I am.
You're a song and dance man.
As a child, I was always referred to as a ham, not because of my size,
that.
But because
I
just
ham.
Yeah, I've always
ham
just been
of
that
a
way.
Kid.
Yeah, it's just
awesome.
Who I am.
And now look at you rocking the mic.
Yeah. You know, we sometimes the career finds you, Mego.
There you go.
You know, you don't find the career finds you.
I was the kid in class who I literally got notes home from the teacher that said that I talked too much. So there you go. The career finds you.
Mine wasn't that I talked too much. It was that I was too loud. I've also been accused of yelling on this radio station. I've never yelled on this station. You'll know when I yell because I might
You've
blow out the microphone.
You've never yelled?
No.
Not even with Keith?
No, I get animated, but I've never yelled. I don't have to. That's how loud I am.
I think
this is like my whisper voice.
Okay. I feel there may be some yelling next segment when we talk about Joe Milton III in the trade.
Oh.
When we finally get to that, because we haven't discussed it, you and I. Well, we did a little bit on the Six Rings pod, but...
Briefly, yeah.
It was very brief.
If you didn't check that out, go check it out. Anywhere you get your podcast, the Odyssey app especially, go check out the Six Ring podcast. Me and Mego joined Fitzy just yesterday to
Killington was on, too.
Killington was on. She was not happy with my takes.
No.
She didn't. But we've been talking Red Sox a little bit. Let's go to Ed in Westminster, wants to talk about the Sox. What's up, Ed?
Mego, do you think they'll trade Devers?
I don't think that they will this season. He didn't completely knock down the idea when it was going through the whole Bregman playing third base.
Didn't he say like he explored the idea? Wasn't that the terminology?
He said something like he explored. He hadn't really thought about it that
prior
much.
To then. Got it.
He didn't say no.
Correct.
So I. Do they trade Devers? I don't think so.
I don't think this year. No, I think they're trying to win. And having Rafael Devers on your roster means you're trying to put the best team together to win. And I think the only way you see them trade Devers is if they're like upgrading, right? If it is for a Vlad Guerrero Jr. type or something like that, then maybe you see the Devers trade somewhere closer to the deadline. But I would highly doubt that you trade Rafael Devers at this point. Mego, there is, however, a... It seems sweeping phenomenon in baseball. Real quick, I wanted to get your thoughts on. Are you in or out on the torpedo bats?
I'm in.
In?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
If
Same.
It works for you, make it work.
Yeah,
like, go
legal.
Get a torpedo bat. Nobody's saying that you can't use them, that only the Yankees can use them. I was looking
Wasn't
through...
Wasn't Bregman toying with it just yesterday or whatever?
Yeah.
You've been,
so
been if... playing around with it like all offseason, I think?
I think... I have the list, the most recent updated list of who we know who's using the torpedo bats, and it's a whole bunch of different guys from different teams. I know the Yankees got all the headlines, but even my guy Adley Rutschman from the Orioles is using it. So it's open for everybody, and I think if it adds offense to the league, that's probably a good thing. Like,
well, it's funny because Bradford mentioned this on Jones and Keefe yesterday, how the torpedo bats have been around now since the end of last year. Like, the Yankees were using them last year in the playoffs, but it wasn't until the Yankees scored 20 runs against the Brewers that anybody actually cared.
Which is more of like, hey, how do you get yourself to play the Brewers more than
exactly. it's
getting
the torpedo bats?
No offense to my friend Trenny Casey, who's a big Brewers
fan.
Then
again, Jazz Chisholm raking with the torpedo bat.
Yeah, so I don't know. They came out of MIT. Too.
Yeah.
So I do feel like the only thing that I have against them is perhaps the Red Sox could have been on them a lot earlier if it's right in your backyard.
You'd think.
Maybe all of our sports need to be looking more over at MIT for improvements. Like maybe
Patriots
we can
could use some improvements.
Yeah, maybe you can get some kind of like torpedo cleats or something.
Oh, I like that.
To improve
torpedo pads?
Some
pads for your running back so defenders kind of just slide off of them a little bit more.
Or just bounce off.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think, look, we've got some of the finest minds in the world just right across the river, and I don't think we're tapping into that potential enough. We're letting all the tech idiots use them. Get them
Valley.
Over to the sports teams. We don't just need them for analytics. These people can come up with other things to improve the sports.
They're like robotics geniuses.
Exactly. Put these nerds to work. We don't just need them in the analytics department.
Put the nerds to work. I like it, Mego. 617-779-7937. It's time to talk Pats here on Mego and Chime. Coming up next.